Our podcast will begin in just a moment. InvestTalk distribution made possible by KPP Financial, Steve Peasley, President. And KPP has been serving people from all across the U.S. for more than 20 years, promising no less than their very best attention and commitment to making sure each of their clients has access to the answers they need, always being accessible. Their focus is on managing risk while always looking for opportunities. Since their money is invested right alongside their clients, their focus is on results. To see about their targeted investment programs, just click on the Investments tab on InvestTalk.com. End of commercial. Now today's InvestTalk.
Good afternoon, everybody, and welcome to the Thursday edition of InvestTalk. It is November 10th. And I always welcome you. Appreciate you listening. Our goal is to help you achieve better results in your investing, above average of results, above average investor. We're here to give you some good counsel, hopefully, and some ideas and direct answers to whatever money questions you might have. And one of our talking points is directed especially at the beginner. The rise of apps and robo-investors make it possible to start investing with as little as $5. How to start investing if you have $1,000 or less. It's going to be one of our talking points today. I hope we get to. With interest rates dipping, have you seen to yearly lows, which now seems to might have been reversing the last few days with the Donald Trump presidency, there's a lot of uncertainty. Now, it may be an opportunity to take advantage of the situation. When interest rates move lower, bond prices increase in value. When interest rates move higher, bond prices decrease in value. You have to take advantage of it. Typically, the biggest asset anybody owns is a house. We know that. Reducing your interest expense on the of a 15 or 30-year mortgage has been, everybody's been doing it. We all doing it. It makes perfect sense to do it. And if you haven't done so already, you might want to hurry up if it could save you some money because, you know, I think we've seen the bottom of the mortgage rates. I think we've seen the bottom of interest rates. So, you know, if you're going to do it, you got to do it. The very high probability that rates will increase in the near future. We've already seen the market react by bumping up interest rates the last few days since Trump was elected, last couple of days. And they spiked up pretty good. I mean, you know, more than I think anybody realized, just like they didn't realize, and neither did I, that the market was going to spike up like it did. So you had 2 days where the interest rates have spiked up, bonds being worth less money, coming down. So if you have bonds with like 7-year maturities or longer, that's going to be a problem for you. Of course, you're going to get your yield. That will always be there. But the values of those bonds are going to go down when interest rates go up. That's why I always recommend a ladder, not going out more than 5 years. Keep them short, 1, 2, 3, 4, not more than 5 years. Then when they come due, the first one comes due, you can roll it out to the longer yield bonds to get, you know, 5 years right at this point, to get better returns. And especially if the interest rates keep going up like they had in the last couple of days, it will be very beneficial for you. Over the long term, you'll get higher and higher yields. And that's what you're after. But if you bought a very long-term bond, you're just going to get whatever that yield was when you bought it. And the value of the bond's going to go down. You can wait till maturity. That's why I like buying bonds. And it will go back to par value. You can do that. Buy the bond at par. Collect your interest, and you get money back at par. During the in-between times, it can go up and down in value, but the longer the term is, the further down the value will go if interest rates rise. Does that make sense to everybody? And there's a reason why I don't care for bond funds, and I've gone over that many times, and I've gone over staying away from leveraged funds, too. Don't even think about that. You can also, if you feel like there's going to be inflation, and there really isn't any inflation, but there's a sense that we're starting to get a little tickle of it coming into the, you know, into the economy. If we do get that, you can always use TIPS, Treasury Inflation Protected Bonds. And they will work great if you get inflation. because they reset themselves like every 6 months based on what inflation is doing. But right now there isn't any, so it might be a bit early. It's only a matter of time. Rates will go up and inflation will go back. These things will go back to normal at some point. I can't tell you when. Bonds have been so cheap for so long, it's, you know, the manipulation of those by central governments is just unprecedented. We've never seen it before. It's just ridiculous. So what money matters do you want to talk about? What's on your mind? Want to talk about personal finance issues or more about the economy? Investing, of course, we can talk about any money questions you want. Any. Let's go to our 24-hour listener line. 888-99-CHART is our anytime number.
Hi, this is Sean. I really enjoy your show. Listen to it on the podcast regularly. I have a quick question regarding rental and versus living in a investment property. I recently just purchased a house for $150,000 in a neighborhood that generally sells for around $300,000. I have the potential to rent this property out for about $2,000 a month. My current mortgage on this property will be $1,300. I have a potential of $700 a month profit. I could either rent it out, because I'm living in a apartment right now, which we're content in, for $900 a month, and we could rent this property, take that residual income, or we can move into the property, fix it up, and make it potentially worth as much as the neighboring houses of $300,000. It is a foreclosed property. It is going to need a little bit of work, but, you know, the best advice for that. Thank you. Bye.
Well, if you're content in your apartment, I think you rent it out. That's what I would do, because that's a pretty good return, and it's a cash flow positive. I would probably rent it out. You know, if you want to live in it because people want to own a house, that's where your question is. I think financially, I think you'll do better renting it because you get, you know, you get the rental income, but you get to depreciate it. That income probably will net out to zero taxes that you owe on it because you get to depreciate the property and you got to fix it up. So there's costs you get to write off. You get to get the write off the cost of maintaining it. So I kind of like building a rental portfolio if that's the route you want to take. I did that for years. I like that. If you are you're comfortable with your renting your property, then I would rent out that other property. Let them pay the mortgage for a while. Why not? For the next 10 years, 15 years. Why not? That would be my suggestion, and that's where you can build wealth that way. I kind of like it. How to start investing if you only have $1,000 or less? That's one of our talking points today. It's not easy to get started. I mean, it is not easy. I started off with less than $500. When I turned, was I 21 then? I think I was 21. And that's what I started, about three stocks. It cost me more in commission than the price I paid for the stocks. That's how much it was. It was over $250 in commissions. I wasn't thinking very straight back then. I thought I'd get invested, but, you know, I think the broker really took advantage of me. He could have said, wait a minute. Back then, remember, they didn't have ETS. It wasn't cheap brokerage. You had to go through a brokerage, a broker. But the other talking points I want to discuss, how will buying houses change as rates rise? Who will be buying them? How's that going to work out? So I want to talk about that. It kind of ties in with the just recent question we had. And the IAE, you know who the IAE is? IAE? They warn of relentless growth in oil supply. We're going to talk about that. I think everybody knows who OPEC is, but the IAE is just an international body that keeps track of that, the oil supplies. And here's an idea. Don't retire at all. I want to talk about that. You know what? You ever notice I talk about retirement a lot on this show? That's because I'm a baby boomer. There's a lot of baby boomers, a lot of people listening to this show. You either have to save for retirement, you got a long term out, but you still got to save for it, or you're close to retirement, or you're in retirement. That's why. And I'm suggesting that maybe you shouldn't retire at all. get that out. I think more and more baby boomers, and I'm part of that generation, are thinking in those terms. I'm not going to retire. The trick is someone may retire you. Your employer may retire you. You may not want to retire, but you may be forced. Those are what we're going to talk about. Do you see the market? This was the bizarre market today. Justin and I were sitting around talking about this today and thinking, what do you think is going on? The Dow was up 219 points. The NASDAQ was down 42 points. And the S&P was up 4 points. That is a strange dichotomy, really strange. Now, you've heard me repeat over and over and over over history that the NASDAQ generally leads the market. In a healthy market, that's what leads. Well, it certainly didn't do it today. That does not necessarily mean the market is unhealthy. It is odd, and the reason why, we got the presidential election, it's making it odd. Is all the investors, bond investors, stock investors, traders, were all trying to figure out what kind of changes a Trump presidency will make. And we didn't really think about this. Most everybody thought that Hillary was going to be in, so we kind of knew there wasn't going to be much changes. More of Obama kind of thing. But with Trump, it's kind of an unknown. We know what he says, but can he do it? And if he does it, what should we do? And if he doesn't, is he not able to do it, what should we do? But we're also knowing that he has both the Senate and the House, so anything he wants to do could be pushed through. Now, he doesn't have a filibuster-proof Senate majority, but, you know, doesn't have to get too many Democrats to help him. I think that's doable. Now, we'll be meeting face-to-face this coming Saturday. By the way, that's day after tomorrow. I hope you can join us at our San Jose for our Saturday morning wealth conference. Really, it is going to be. We added some slides about what a Trump presidency will look like. What sectors and what stocks, what kind of positions should you be in for a Trump presidency? What will work? What won't work? It's 3 hours, 9 to noon, this Saturday. You can sign up easily. We're going to talk about how to help and understand the impact of central bank policy is changing, how to transition from growth to value stocks. What does a growth stock look like? What does a value stock look like? Give you some examples. How to prosper in a year of change. That's the name, 2017. It's at the Hyatt House, 9 to noon. You can sign up right now if you'd like to at investtalk.com. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. What do you guys want to talk about? We'll talk about any topic as long as it's financial. So who's 888-99-CHART is our number. We have a voicemail we're going to go to right now.
Yes, I'm 35 years old and looking to put some money in the market. I was wondering what your thoughts are on Chevron. I'm looking for a growth stock for a long-term hold. Thank you.
Okay, Chevron would not be a growth stock. It's not a growth stock. Growth stocks have growth. That's your main focus. Chevron's a big blue chip, very stable, high dividend paying stock. Pays a 4% dividend yield right now. So it is not. It's a core holding. It can be a core holding. It is a stock you want to buy when it's cheap, like when the beginning of the year when it was around $70, $80. Now it's $107. So now is not the time to buy, even though it looks like it's trying to break out. But there is a lot of resistance coming up here shortly. So I think you wait. I would not chase Chevron. I would not. It has a 5-year range of 7 to 142 PE. It's going to make $1.34 this year. So, you know, that's. I think it's a good stock to own, and it should be part of your portfolio, but I wait for weakness to buy it. But it's not a growth stock. Don't get confused with that. That's not. And if you want to know the difference, come to our seminar this weekend, this Saturday. We're going to show you the difference in growth and value. This is the Invest Talk. Remember, we're not all stocks and bonds. Here's a money question for you. What does the prospect of retirement look like for you? How will you spend your time? Let's talk about it. 888-99-CHART. That's our Invest Talk 24 hours a day, 7 days a week, listener line. 99 Chart, love to talk to you about any subject that's financial. And of course, Now, we could talk about the new president-elect, but only in conjunction with how it's going to affect our investments. That's it. That's what I'm interested in. I'm interested in our investments. You're growing your money, growing all my clients' money. That's all I'm interested in. And that's on this show. So we have to talk about that. Now, who will be the buyers of houses when the rates start to rise? Because rates are starting to rise. Mortgage rates are starting to rise the last couple of days with Trump getting in. Rates are rising. And we know that the Fed has talked about, I mean, they kind of put it pretty much on the, you're almost assured that they're going to raise rates in December, the way they talk. Problem is, you can't believe them. I mean, they've talked they're going to raise rates 3 or 4 times this year, and we haven't got one yet. And it is November. Got one more meeting. But I think they'll raise it. So my point is that it looks like mortgage rates have finally have bottomed. And now, who's going to be buyers going forward? Who? And it, especially the first-time buyers, that's what we really need. For a healthy housing market, we need those first-time buyers. And we know the millennials have not been buying. One of the reasons, because they've been paying off or trying to pay off their student debt. Well, it looks like they're finally starting to come into the first-time buyer market. 2017 sales are expected to go up 2%, and 2018 up 4%, despite a rising mortgage rates. Why? Because there's low unemployment rates, and the interest rate, mortgage rates, even though they're rising, are still in the 4% or less range and probably will stay pretty low for a while. Supply numbers are still tight. Supply and demand. They're increasing, but they're still tight. But more importantly is those millennials, as they get 30, then 35, and they start in families, and, you know, they're looking to buy a house. Finally, they've been one of the slower generations in trying to get a property. And I don't think it has much to do with the price of properties necessarily, because it's not just in the pricey areas we're talking about. It's all over the country. You know, so it's not just in Silicon Valley or, you know, the expensive places in California or expensive places anywhere in the country. It's everywhere that the millennials haven't been really buying. Well, when you start a family, yeah, you want a house. And that's what we're seeing. Those are going to be the people who are going to be coming into the market, millennials. And they're the ones that will support the housing market going forward. Of course, there's still going to be the cycles up and down. I'm not saying there won't be. We're just talking about fundamentally, first-time buyers coming into the housing market will come from the millennial generation. That's what we're saying. 888-99-CHART. We're going to go talk to Joe, who is in Seattle. How you doing, Joe?
Hey, Steve. Thanks for taking my call. I thought this was kind of funny. I just set a reminder on my phone this morning to call you about gold, but my phone misunderstood me and just reminded me to call you about God. So I don't have any questions about God, but I do have a question about gold.
Yes.
I was just curious of I bought ABX last summer and wanted to know if you had any take on how it's responding to the election.
Yeah, all gold really took a beating today, and it started to take a beating yesterday. I think it is a little overdone, but I also think, Joe, because we own ABX, by the way, we sold half of it 3 or 4 months ago. I think the surprise election by Trump kind of makes me feel that maybe we won't see that another run up in gold anytime soon. I'm thinking I'm going to cut my position in gold. That's what I'm thinking. I may not get out all of my position.
What's the relationship between Trump and gold?
This is what it is. It's kind of a little bit convoluted, but this is what it is. He is going to spend money on fiscal infrastructure, military, right? He's going to spend money. Whether that puts us more in debt or not, he's going to spend money and cut taxes, and that will make us go in further debt. But the hope is, or the thinking is, the economy will grow a little bit faster, the dollar will get stronger, and gold will get weaker because of it.
Got it.
That's,
okay, so
that's,
you would get out of it at this point, or do you think it overreacted to the election and might go up a little bit?
Exactly. I think it's overreacted now, but on the bounce, I think I'm probably going to start cutting back on my gold position. But I'm not going to do it while it's overreacting. Okay?
Okay.
Okay, that's
got
my,
it. All right. Thanks
for the
that
call.
That answers my question.
Thanks, Joe. Now, I think that's what we're seeing in the market. They're thinking, the investors are thinking, and, you know, that's not wrong thinking, And you got to also remember, just by the action of people, it can be true, right? They can make it come true by their actions. We're open to your money questions, everybody, and, of course, your comments. 888-99-CHART. Good question, Joe, by the way. Appreciate it. That's how you can get through. Include 888-99-CHART. We get through right now. We're live 4 to 5 Pacific time, Monday through Friday. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, and you're listening to Invest Talk.
Got a question for Steve or Justin?
I'm wondering what out there is going to work better over the next 20 years than buy and hold.
You're the best person to ask it at 888-99-CHART. You could call it a riskometer. It's a free risk analysis tool that's accessible to you on investtalk.com. It gives you a risk number, and then you can see how well it matches up with your existing retirement portfolio and if any adjustments need to be made. Check it out now. It's free on investtalk.com. You're listening to Invest Talk for Thursday, November 10th. How and why you might and might not want to invest in a fund that uses futures, a trip into the futures through mutual funds. That's tomorrow on Invest Talk, but we're still talking today. 888-99-CHART is how to reach Steve right now from anywhere in the USA.
888-99-CHART. I'd love to talk to you. Talk to you about anything financial. That's what we do here. Here's an idea. Don't ever retire at all. Don't. It makes perfect sense. You know, people want to retire. They see that as a goal. I did. I know I did. And you think, okay, well, gee, you know, then I can do what the heck ever I want. The reality is doing the heck of whatever you want gets boring after a while. What? Okay, let's say you're an enthusiast fisherman. You're going to fish every day? No. Okay, you're a bicyclist. You're going to bicycle every day the rest of your life? No. You know, I'm not saying you can't retire. I'm not saying you shouldn't retire. I'm saying you probably won't like it like you think you might. I know I didn't when I tried it a number of years ago. That's no fun. There was a study done by Transamerica and found that roughly two-thirds of baby boomers plan on continuing employment past the traditional retirement of age 65. Now, who said the traditional retirement age is 65? Where'd that come from? That came from the Social Security. No one retired at 65. No one had an artificial date until Social Security came around. Why are we buying into that? Well, remember, in the day that when it came around, people died. The average person died way before 65 years old. But now, our average life expectancy is 78, 79. And if you live to 65, you can live your. It is assumed, or the statistics show, that you'll probably live to 90. That's a long time. There are two reasons why many people will not retire. I mean, Will not retire. One is they can't afford it. You can't afford it. I talked about this yesterday. I talked about ad nauseum. Many people can't afford it. The other one is they don't want to. More and more people don't want to. Well, that's okay. I think that's a good thing, not retiring. It's something that, I will say this. You should stop what you have to do and do what you want to do. That should be what retirement is. That's my mantra. I talk to people when I meet with them. I say, okay, what do you want to do when retirement comes around? Do you want to retire? And if you do, retiring only means stopping what you want to do, what you have to do, and go do what you want to do. It may be the same thing you're doing right now. Maybe it's the same thing, but not necessarily 40 hours a week, a full work week. Maybe it's half. You know, so depends on what kind of what field you're in. Engineers can have that ability pretty good. I mean, they are in demand, and depending on what kind of engineer, you know, you can have a 6-week project, then be off, and then pick up another project. So you know, you have that kind of freedom, which is pretty nice. Now let's get back to work answering some questions. Get your question to me anytime. You can call our 24-hour listener line number, 888-99-CHART, and we'll answer their question on the very next program.
Yeah, good morning. This is Saeed from Illinois. His question for Steve. I've been listening to your podcast for the last few months, but why you do not recommend some stocks in each time at your show, means at least a couple of stocks. Most of the stocks people ask about, they want to buy. Majority of the stocks, they say you tell them either it is too high, it is too low, you don't like it, but you should put some of your stocks you like, at least a couple of stocks. I don't think so there's any trouble doing that. You know, you can always research. Your research is more better than us, so you can always put some of the stocks which you think is you like it. Thank you, Steve. Thank you. Bye.
Well, there's a very good reason. I can't. The SEC, Securities Exchange Commission, says I can't. They have a rule that says if you manage money like we do, you cannot, you have to know your client before you can recommend stocks. That's the rule. You have to know your client before you can recommend stocks. Now, you can listen to other radio shows, and they'll tell you about talk about stocks, but that means they don't manage money. So what does that mean, you have to know your client? Well, I have to know, I can't know the public. I can't know the airways. I don't know who I'm talking to. Know your client means, is this stock proper for you? And they even may change the rules to make it even more stricter. It used to be where is a stock suitable? Well, now it's not suitable. Is it the best for you? And so I need to know where's your financial situation? How you are? Do you have enough wealth to take on this risk? Do you understand the risk you're taking? Do you want to be aggressive, or maybe you want to be conservative? So I cannot recommend stocks over the airways. I cannot. I wouldn't mind, but I can't. There are rules that says I can't. That's why you don't hear me saying, well, I really think I got a couple stocks I would like you to buy today. I think they look really good. I can't. Plus, you got to remember, I do manage money for a living, and I have clients that I have to satisfy before I tell you. But that wouldn't stop me from recommending stocks, because I would buy them for my clients, and then I admit it on the air and say, these are a couple stocks I bought today, and this is why. But I can't do it because of the SEC. I know. It's a pain, isn't it? I wish it didn't exist, but it does. So, you know, our main talking point today is about, what do you do with $1,000 or less? How do you get invested? How can you invest with that little bit of money? And there's an article on our website, I think you can get to it, that will help you, you know, at least talk about how you can do it. And this day and age, you really can get started with a very little amount of money. It's very doable. You could do it through, you know, many of the discount brokerages would be happy to take that low amount. Now, the problem you have, and the thing you have to really watch out for, is commissions, the cost to make a trade. You know, so what you're going to have to do with $1,000, you don't buy individual stocks. You have to kind of stick with, you know, the indexes and make one trade, because the trade can cost you more than it's worth. Now, there are discount brokers out there. There's one that's a half a cent a trade, but I don't know if there's a minimum. You know, in other words, minimum number amount of money you have to have with them. But there are plans. Schwab has one. E-Trade has one. They'll take small accounts. But for instance, Schwab trades, if you buy a stock, is $8.95. E-Trade is $9.99. So you're not going to buy, you know, with $500, 20 shares, 20 different companies, because your trading fees will eat you up. So you can't do that. So there's also, you can start with like IRAs and my IRA, robo investors, you can do it, All these things are possible, and you there are some that you can even put $5 a month in. But you got to be careful of your costs, your fees. So be very, very cognizant of what you're being charged and how you're being charged. And if you have a small amount like that, you buy indexes. You buy SPY, which is the S&P 500. You can buy that, or you buy a mutual fund with the amount of money. But see, mutual funds can be a problem because many of them have minimums. Got to spend $1,000 or $2,500 to buy this mutual fund. So that doesn't help you if you don't have that much money. But you can buy an ETF with a trading fee, and that's what you got to be careful of. For instance, if you had $100 and you're going to buy SPY and you spend $100 buying the index SPY ETF and it costs you $10 to make that trade, that's 10%. That means you've got to go up 10% just to break even. That's what I'm talking about as far as the fees being too expensive on a really small amount. Okay? 888-99-CHART. What's in it for insiders? We talk about insiders all the time. We call them InvestTalk Insider. How to become one. It's really easy. It's cheap. Well, one thing you're going to get is webinars. You'll have access to a whole library of webinars that you can play anytime you want. And it's free. There's never a charge for any of the useful content when you're InvestTalk Insider. To sign up, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab.
Steve's checkup schedule for November sees him in San Jose on the 16th. Each month, Steve schedules one-hour meetings with our listeners to answer important questions about their retirement portfolio. And if you'd like to sit down with him and review your retirement portfolio, you have an opportunity coming up soon. Again, it's November 16th in San Jose. But if you're not near our California offices, Steve can meet with you via Skype or telephone. It's easy. If you'd like to set up a time, just go to InvestTalk.com and click on the InvestTalk tab, then Portfolio Review.
Hi, I listen to you on the radio AM 1220 every day. Dan in Palo Alto. But I wanted to ask you about Wynn, the gaming company, which is both in the U.S. and in China. And also would love to know if it's a time to get into commodities in general, rare earth, silver, gold. Thank you.
Okay, when you say commodities in general, yes, not necessarily in precious metals now. I would not mind, why? Because of the change in presidency. If it was Hillary who's still going to be in there, I would say, yeah, we're going to have another run on gold, I'm pretty sure. But with with Trump in there, gold doesn't look as bright. But commodities, food and other things, I kind of liking, basic materials. I kind of like the other commodities. Now, Wynn Resorts, that is the gambling casino places in Las Vegas and China, as he put it, in Macau. They've had hard times. Why? Because China, a year or two ago, maybe 3 years ago, I'm not sure exactly when, they started. A lot of Chinese used Macau, the gambling casinos, to move money out of the country. And then they kind of put the Chinese government, kind of put a stop to that. So if you were in mainland China, you could go have fun in the gambling casinos, but you get to open an account there, and then you can move money outside the Chinese country if you wanted to. And they didn't like that anymore. And so what happened is gambling fell sharply in Macau. Still there, and people coming, but it's not as profitable as it was. And, of course, that hurt Wynn. Now they're getting back on the growth side of things. 2% growth this quarter, this most recent quarter, and they expect another 10, 11% for the next quarter. Same with earnings. Earnings are going to grow 8% this year, then 10%. And they're going to make $4.18 in 2017. And it's an $85 stock. So that's a 20 PE, right? A little more than 20 PE. And the 5-year range is 13 to 31. So it's not cheap. It's not cheap. That's the reason why I would not probably entertain buying Wynn stock. because it's just a little over expensive. I do think that they are back on the path of recovery. And I did notice that there were lots of insiders buying when the stock was, you know, around $55, $60 earlier this year. And then they stopped. Now it's at 85. It got up to 110. Now it's 85. And I still don't see any insiders buying yet. So I think you got to wait till it pulls back more to be a buyer of it. Pays 2.3% dividend. Good, solid company. 888-99-CHART, 888-992-4278. Love to talk to you. Okay, the IEA warns of relentless growth in oil supply. We are oversupplied in oil. Now, OPEC met in October and said they were going to cut production by 2%. Instead, production rose because they can't agree who what country of the OPEC countries are going to cut. So oil demand and oil supplies are still growing from OPEC. And then you add on Russia and Algiers and different other outside countries not part of OPEC. Canada, Brazil. They're pumping as much as they can. At $50 a barrel, it's profitable to be pumping oil. That's about what it is. So I can't. This is good news for us consumers. As a consumer, this is great news. As an investor, you better be careful of and pick your spots if you're going to invest in oil stocks. Pick your spot. But for consumers, that means your gasoline prices are going to stay low. And then, remember with Trump, Trump is pro-business. He's pro-oil. He's pro-coal, right? So we're going to not, he's going to be very much pro become energy independent. So don't think oil supplies are going to go down. They're not. And the only way that they're going to soak up that extra supply is world demand goes up. World GDP goes up. And recently IMF ratcheted down a bit. We're going to talk about this. Part of this is going to be talked about on Saturday at our wealth conference in San Jose about world GDP and world growth. And they ratcheted down the prospects for this year. And it's been coming down every year for the last several years. That's got to turn around. That's got to turn around. Where do you look to have it turn around? Is it going to turn around in Europe? Japan? I don't think so in Japan. How about emerging markets? I don't know. Trump is not going to be good for emerging markets. See, these are things you're going to get more, a lot more information at our conference. I would suggest you show up in San Jose. I think you'll get a lot out of it. You're listening to Invest Talk. Now, do you have a partner in managing your 401k? We have it. We can help you. It's a new program called from KPP Financial. It's called My 401k. Find out more about it on investtalk.com. Click on the investment tab and then My 401k. 888-992-4278. Let's talk to Daniel Palo Alto. How are you doing, Daniel?
Yes, sir. Great. Thank you. Good to talk to you. Listen to you on 1220, of course, every day.
Thank you.
Just had a quick question. Speaking of energy, whether now it would be too late to be shorting stocks like First Solar or an emerging market like Brazil?
Yeah, I think it's not too late. I think clean energy is going to have a more difficult time going forward. We don't know what Trump will do, really, but we know he is pro energy independent. So that means he's pro oil, right? I do think the clean energy stocks are going to have a harder time going forward. I do. So it's a possible short, and I think emerging markets. Why do I think emerging markets are going to have a hard time? I'm just going by what Trump said. He said he's going to bring back our jobs, right? What does that mean? That tells me tariffs, right? That's what it tells me, that he wants free trade, but he wants fair trade. And that might mean a more difficult time emerging markets sending us their products without us sending them our products. So these are my, and I'm still working this all out, by the way, Daniel.
It makes sense, though. It's logical.
Yeah, I like using what sounds logical if he does what he says he does. And then I go to that, Daniel. He does have the House and the Senate, so what he can do what he says he wants to do if he has their support. You know what I'm saying?
Gotcha.
Daniel, appreciate the call. Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Let's go to Bill in Santa Cruz. How you doing, Bill?
Hey, Steve. I'm doing great. Thank you.
Have you ever eaten at a Texas Roadhouse restaurant?
No, I haven't.
Me neither.
It looks like a pretty good place to eat.
Yeah.
I passed by a couple, but, you know, it wasn't dinner time.
So we're talking about, he wants to talk about TXRH, which is Texas Roadhouse Restaurant, and there are 483 Roadhouse full-service restaurants in 49 states. They're going to open up 33 more this year. I've never seen one. What do you want to know, Bill?
Well, you know, just it's supposedly a growth stock. I don't know if their growth slowed down a little bit, but does it look like a reasonable price for the growth that you see there?
That's a very good question. It is a growth stock. It has all the hallmarks of growth. Why am I saying that? It's growing between 10 and 12% sales every quarter. Earnings are going to be up 29% this year, and then another 13% next year. It has a P.E. range of 15 to 31. It's going to make $2 next year. It's a $44 stock, so it's a 14 P.E. No, $2. So what is that, a 20 P.E.? Right?
It looks like
21, 22.
Amazon app shows 26 right now.
Yeah, that's probably because they're looking at this year's earnings. I'm looking at next year's earnings.
Oh, okay.
So it's going to be like 22 or so on the PE next year, which is not terrible. 15% return on equity for a growth stock, that's not like super expensive. It's not. It's had a couple of really big days, though. Did you see that?
Yeah, we had a good pullback. It would have been a good time to buy it a couple of days ago.
Yeah. So I would relax. It probably will give some of these this move, it's up over way over 10%. It'll probably give some of this back, and then you can pick it up, maybe half back.
Okay, that sounds good.
Okay.
Hey, what about Geo? I know you own that in your account.
Which one?
So that went way down, Geo Group, GEO.
Yeah.
Went way down. It's come back since Trump's come in. I'm just wondering.
And we kept it.
Do you continue to hold that?
I kept it, and I'm continuing to hold it. That one really popped up, just like these two, your Texas Roadhouse. Yes, we kept it. Let's go to Jay in Fremont. How you doing, Jay?
I'm fine. Thank you, Steve. Steve, I had a question on tech stocks because of the election results. The tech stocks have been beaten very badly.
Yeah.
Do you think, like, stocks like Google and Facebook and, you know, Amazon, those are, like, one should consider them?
I would be, I still be a little patient on it because tech stocks have really got, I mean, you heard me talk about it at the beginning of the show where the Dow was up 219, but the tech stocks, the NASDAQ was down 42 today. We're trying to figure out, me and Justin, we're still debating why that is happening. Now, our theory right now that we're working with, but we don't not necessarily know for sure, is that, you know, a lot of tech is imported here to the United States. And that, you know, well, somehow we're thinking, how is Trump going to cause that tech to suffer? You know, and we're still figuring it out. I'm not sure. I still have to think about it. I don't want to mention on the radio what I'm thinking here. But I do want to until I'm sure of myself. Our time is up for this hour. A reminder before we go, we're counting down to Saturday morning's Wealth Conference coming up November 12th. And by the way, that's day after tomorrow. 9 to noon at the Hyatt House in San Jose. The Hyatt in San Jose. You can sign up online on investtalk.com. Seating is limited as usual, but yeah, we can accommodate a lot of people. Hope to see you there in San Jose. I'm financial advisor Steve Peasley, president of KPP Financial, a registered investment advisor firm. And for Justin Klein and everybody at KPP, thank you for listening today, and let's do it again tomorrow.
Because of the nature of the interactive dialogue inherent in the format of this program, it's important for listeners to understand that not all comments made will apply to them specifically. Nothing said shall be taken to be investment advice, or shall statements on this program be considered an offer to buy or sell securities. Such advice is rendered solely on an individual basis, and at times will require that the investor review a prospectus before investing. Steve Peasley and Justin Klein are principals of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, a registered investment advisor. For more information regarding KPP's investment advisors, call 1-800-557-5461. InvestTalk is a copyrighted program of Klein, Pavlis, and Peasley Financial, which retains all rights.